right, we're starting off the Chuck and Brent podcast, or the Brent and Chuck podcast, with a good old Baptist hymn. Out of the Baptist hymnal there, man. What do you think?
Well, I love it. My question then is...
I'm trying to get the volume turned down. There we go.
I know that you're teaching and preaching on Lamentations this Sunday. So are you going to use the great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, at any point in the service on Sunday?
I don't like to, you know, to spill the beans about an upcoming service.
Okay, then I'm sorry for asking, Mr. Maxwell.
But I think that you will be very moved.
Oh, and that's all I need. That's all I need.
Yeah, of course, we do that. Great is Thy Faithfulness often. It is my favorite hymn.
Okay, well...
Maybe that's why we do it so often.
Well, fine. I mean, I think that's one of the joys of being in charge. So you get to do what you want to do. So I don't knock that at all.
Yeah,
but,
so...
In Lamentations, which is written by...
This coming Sunday, I'm preaching out of Lamentations.
Well, and plus, in the reading, it was Lamentations was Monday and Tuesday.
That's right.
And so, which is written by Jeremiah. And so, tell us a little bit about...
traditionally, it's thought to have been written by Jeremiah.
Well, we'll go with that.
That's inconclusive. There are some indications. You're making me preach my sermon.
Oh, sorry.
But 2 Chronicles does indicate that Jeremiah wrote some laments.
Right.
Concerning Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Now, whether these that we have in Lamentations are those, we're not really sure about that. We don't know exactly who the author is. But it fits.
Right.
With Jeremiah having been there during this time.
Well, then if you're taking that position, it's very similar to the Proverbs position of, you know, did Solomon write the Proverbs? Well, we know he wrote some of them. Did he write all those in there?
Right. Probably not.
Probably not. But we're still going to attribute it to him historically.
And it's a possibility that Lamentations has several different authors, and it was put together as one sort of continuous poem.
And it's also the possibility, too, that you have someone who is the secretary around that time period who's recording what's going on around the time of Jeremiah, and that would be okay, too.
And, somewhat of a, and maybe an editor of sorts. So, anyway, and I've never preached a message from Lamentations, so, of course, you know, I've only been preaching for about 2 months now, so I don't have a whole lot of sermons behind me anyway, but...
I didn't get that one, but that's okay.
Yeah, I've been preaching more than 2 months.
I know, that's what I thought, too. Yeah, so I was like, so we're into lying now? But, I just didn't get it. I'm sorry, John.
I know when people hear me, they go, he hadn't been preaching very long. You know, we can tell that. That's what I mean.
Oh, sorry.
But,
okay.
So, but anyway, no, I mean, we can preach a lifetime and never get, you know, preach through everything. But Lamentations is one I hadn't landed in.
Okay.
And it's going to be, it's been good preparing it. Been hard.
Yeah, well, it's kind of depressing.
And as well it should be. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't want to get into my sermon.
No.
Then people won't come.
No.
You've already told them what songs we're singing.
No.
So,
sorry. But you did want to connect it to Jeremiah, so I want to give you a chance to go there.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, one of the things that Lamentations does is sort of complete the picture, in a way, of what Jeremiah had been warning was coming.
Yeah, I know.
And of course, we did have Obadiah this past weekend with Matt Wright, but before we were in Jeremiah 29, talking about some of the exiles that were in Babylon. He's writing that letter, but there are some who were still in Jerusalem.
Right.
And Lamentations is written from the perspective of those who were trying to hang on in Jerusalem and just flat got mowed over.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. It would have been horrendous to see. I mean, can you imagine any city that you are part of, that you know and you love, being torn down brick by brick?
Oh.
I mean,
I've read the Three Lamentations several times in the last week and listened to it several times too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so sad.
Right, I mean, there's times there we're talking about, like, infants and children wandering in the street.
And mothers eating their children because there's no food.
Yeah.
It is devastation. It's the ultimate, you know. So, and it's all because, to segue into what you and I were talking about earlier, It's all because they would not believe what Jeremiah was telling them.
Right. And so by definition, then, they were listening and believing something.
They were listening to some false prophets that this was not going to ever happen to them.
Right.
And unfortunately, they just didn't listen. Right. I mean, they were wrong.
Well, so
Jeremiah was...
Is it fair to say that listening to false prophets leads to destruction?
It can. Yeah. I would say it can.
Yeah.
You're toying with it.
Okay. Yeah.
If you're wanting to make it today, I mean, it's not like
right.
If you listen to one today, then you're going to get destroyed.
No. I'm in destruction in the broader sense of the word. That if you listen and believe and live your life in light of false prophets,
that's right.
who are feeding you lies, and then now you're living your life in light of that,
yep.
that it will lead down a life of destruction.
I think that's right.
That's scary.
Yes, it is.
So
you were saying earlier that we need to make sure that we are sort of sounding the alarm about
right.
that in our day, because there are plenty.
That's right, yeah.
And what comes to your mind?
Yeah, I think that for me, you know, we think about the idea of false prophets. We often get this idea that it's someone standing in the street proclaiming something, and you're like, oh, yeah, I don't want to hear that. Or maybe a guy coming through the television. But keep in mind that false prophets can be your friend or your buddy sitting next to you in the car having a conversation, over coffee having a conversation, in your home having a conversation, where they maybe lead you to believe that in a relationship conflict or whatever, that you're not the problem, or that you don't have a sin problem, or that, you know, it's just the idea of feeding you things that sound good, or maybe sound good to you at the moment, but really it's not helping you through whatever your situation is, because they're not really feeding you the gospel. They're not feeding you, you know what, you're probably a sinner, you might have messed up, and you know what, there's hope for you.
Mm-hmm.
In the gospel, not in the hope of yourself.
So that is an interesting angle to this,
yeah.
that it's not necessarily the louder, more upfront voices
right.
that yeah. are leading people away.
Right.
It could be the more subtle
mm-hmm.
Voices yeah. of our relationships
yeah.
that are off base.
I mean, just people, and also, too, I also want to say, because this is so sneaky and subtle, because I think it can happen through good friends, well-meaning friends, and all this kind of stuff, who tell you things maybe that really just aren't true, or it's just not going to help you ultimately.
So. Yeah. I had, and maybe this is kind of what you're talking about a little bit. I recently had a friend who was sharing with me, I was sort of challenging them on their discipleship,
right.
where they were in their discipleship, and it looked like they were slacking,
right.
in some ways. And so I was challenging this brother in this area,
right.
And I said, "Man, how is your heart?"
Right.
"Oh, my heart's fine, man. I just, you know, I've just been kind of doing this,
right.
this way." But my heart's fine, you know. My heart for God is fine, and I said, "Well, no, not if you're off doing this your way. Your heart is not fine."
Right? Yeah. There's evidence to the contrary.
Right.
Yeah.
So rather than us, I guess what you're saying is rather than us sort of giving people a pass sometimes
right.
and trying to schmooze over some of our
yes.
sin,
yes.
let's go ahead and be straight up about
right.
it, right?
And that's exactly right. And think about this. This happens all the time, and since you and I are pastors, we run into this, is that how often do we listen to a friend's story about something, whether it's a conflict, whether it's I hate my boss, or I hate this buddy because they backstab me, or whatever. We listen to that one side of the story, then we act as judge and jury, immediately make a verdict and say, "Well, here's the problem. Yep, so-and-so's in the wrong, you're in the right," and that kind of thing. When wisdom would have us think through that and say, okay, if your boss is always the problem, and they're always the issue, I don't know, let's maybe consider you. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or that kind of thing. And I think that can be real subtle, too, and that's where it takes, I think, wisdom of the Spirit to say, you know, we can't change your circumstances, so how can we help you respond in biblical love to not always see the issue or the problem as out there, someone else's issue, someone else's problem, but to more see, and what is God calling me to do? What am I supposed to do in all this? And so these are some false prophet voices that I think we can listen to. And they're given to us by oftentimes friends.
So how would you say that we, and I know you've already offered some approach to kind of correcting this.
Yeah.
But maybe from some principles standpoint, what would you say we could do to be true prophet friends?
And I think that
some other ways, and you have mentioned one or two here.
I think
watch out for false prophet friends.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think you want to start off with, you know, a simple proverb that better are the faithful wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. I mean, we live in a culture and a time right now where we just don't see that lived out a whole lot. You know, that kind of proverb. But I think also you just want to draw people's heart to the good news and the bad news. The bad news is you may have really messed up. You may be a real bad sinner. But the really, really, really good news is that Christ can forgive you for this and all that. So that would be just a really simple two-part principle without knowing all these individual situations that I would say is that go ahead and tell your friend the really, really bad news if you've kind of perceived that they messed up, and then offer the really, really good news.
Yeah. And I would go back a step maybe, and something comes to my mind in helping with this. If we're going to be a prophetic voice in a situation, we need to make sure we know what Scripture says about a certain issue.
That's right. Yeah.
If we're going to offer some sort of prophetic word on something, make sure it's biblical.
Right.
If you are in a situation being given a word, you need to run it through the Scripture as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, don't just because some friend wants to make you feel better about yourself.
Right.
Don't just go, well, that must be from God because that just feels right.
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
This gets into false prophets of our day.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So run it through the Scripture.
Absolutely. Well, Chuck, we're at about 12 minutes, so.
So you're tired of talking?
No, I'm not tired of talking. I just think maybe people might be tired of listening.
Well, all right. Well, we will take it out with a little more Ashley Cleveland on Power in the Blood.
Amen. All right. We'll see you guys Sunday.